for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, our Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, May the 27th, 1983. Memorial Weekend Deliverance and Teaching Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Bill Smith of Fort Worth, Texas, is the teacher of the afternoon. His subject, the fivefold ministry.
It's our great desire is to see and to be more like Jesus. I was thinking as our brother was singing there just at the name of Jesus, how that we see kingdoms crumble. And I was thinking as I was traveling one time last year in Mexico and it'd come right after the hurricane. Thank you, brother. And the roads were washing out and this big mountain that we were trying to come back down, and the people says to us, says, you can't make it down the mountain. And I said, by faith, we have to get down the mountain because I've got to get into another area, and then I've got to return back home. We started down this big mountain, and we'd gotten stuck a couple times, and we dug the vehicle out, and the other minister, we dug down in the hole and got dry dirt and started pulling it under the wheels and everything we got. We started coming down the mountain and come into a real hairpin, just seeing dirt, just a goat road. So we started sliding off over the cliff sideways with the brakes locked. And I was singing as our brother was singing, at the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you, at the name of Jesus, I saw that truck of mine come to a sudden stop. There was not time to go through our formal prayer. Only time for Jesus. Praise the Lord. So there's no other name that's named that's above that name. Hallelujah. And I'm grateful for that today. And as I was just sitting over there, the Lord so impressed me because there's many of you that don't know anything about us, don't know us. But we came from bondage when I was just a young boy in California. We grew up in a denominational church, and I said to you this morning that that's all there was to it. I quit. Well, we went through a lot of suffering. I got married very young. And I have a daughter that's just 19 years younger than I. My wife has got a daughter that's 17 years younger than she is. So we've been married all of these years. But I said that to tell you because I know by the Spirit that there's some of you that's faced some of the situations. I buried two of my children in 1 week. One on Monday, buried another one on Wednesday of the same week. I become very bitter. I became very hateful. And if I could step in your face and make me $20, I'd do it one way or another. Because that's all I cared for. I become very bitter. Turned against God. I turned against everything. But you know what I did? Out in St. Joseph's Hospital, I'm sure Penny lives there in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area. She's teaching at Gordon Lindsay over at the Christ of the Nation. Gordon Lindsay founded that work. I walked in those wings of that hospital in my early 20s. I think 20 or 21. I begged and I cried and I tried to bargain with God. I said, God, if you'll just heal my little girl, I'll preach. I'll not, because you see, I knew that I was called to preach when I was 5 years of age. I cried. I started school when I was 5 years old. I cried for my mother and father to buy me a Bible at 5 years of age. My mother and father, I was born after the Depression, so you know how old I am. I wasn't born during the Depression. I was born after it. So they said, we don't have the money. And my grandmother sold some eggs in the country and bought me a Bible when I was 5 years of age. But brother, I walked out in there and I said, God, I'll preach or do anything you want me to do. If you'll just heal my little girl. I want you to know there was a hunk of flesh trying to bargain with deity. Brother, God is not in the bargaining table. We change cabinets, but God never changes His cabinet. And He's not on the bargaining table. I said, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Can we bargain? Can we get together? If you'll just only heal my little girl. All right? My little girl passed away. Then on Wednesday or Tuesday, our little boy was born, lived a little over 14 hours, and it too passed away. We buried two of them in 1 week, and as I said, I became very bitter. But I want to say something to you today. Don't try to bargain with deity. You get in the position that God can give unto you His kingdom. Don't make no bargainings or deals with God. You submit and you come God's way, and brother, it's His good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. Then the doctor said to us, said, look, y'all can't have no more children, never, never again. We said, okay. Well, you go have surgery. Well, if you don't have a lot of money, if you pay for hospital bills for months, and you pay for burial property when you don't own any, and you do all of that, unless you've got a lot of money, you'll soon run out. I know what it is. We spent everything that we had. So we went on, and so we said, well, there'll be no more children. So then my wife came up pregnant again, and some 6 or 7 years later. And we said, well, there's no hope for us in having any children. So at the same time, I said, I want the best specialist that I can find in the state. So we took my wife to the specialist, said, I don't see anything that's wrong in any way. And brother and sister, Sister Irma, brother Glenn has been to our church, and they've seen both of our daughters. Brother, this daughter came along, her name is Shelley, Susan. She came along, and there she was, such in such a condition. And so then the doctor said, by the time she's 3 years old, she's older, she's going to have surgery. And we didn't even go any, buy any diapers to bring the child home from the hospital until it come time for dismissal. Because we didn't know. Because I had become so bitter until it looked like it made no matter anymore. You say it don't happen, brother and sister. Outside of God, you become bitter. You will. But I'm here to declare to you today that the day came when that child was just a few months old. Brother, that's when I gave my heart to God. And I said, we're settling it once and for all. No more the Babylonian system. I'm going to follow in your footsteps with as a heart panteth after the water brooks, my soul panteth after thee, O God. All right, then the doctors told us all of this. One day, I told my little daughter, she was getting close to a year old. And so, we prayed and I believed God. And then we took that child's medicine, our refrigerator looked like a drugstore. And then on top of that, every 6 weeks we had to go get a series of shots. And everything. But brother, I'm here to tell you the day when God spoke to me and He said, I'm taking hold of your case. And I'm going to take you through. Brother, I took that medicine. I dug a hole in my backyard and buried it right then and there. Brother, my child never even went and took a shot. My child never went for nothing. She started to school. And here comes a report home from school and said, if Susan, Michelle, doesn't show her vaccination records, she'll have to be kicked out of school because she'd never been for a shot. So then we said, we don't want to buck City Hall, so we want to live above reproach in every area and every facet of our being, so we'll go get the shots. We said, doctor, you give this child a physical and a complete physical and see if there's any area of her body that's any problem. That doctor came back with a reply and says this, if there's anything that child is above normal in every facet of her being. Graduated from high school at the age of 16 with a 2-year scholarship. Today has been pouring her life out to God for all of these years because why? She's been called for this day. Going into Mexico and speaking and preaching to them in their own language. But brother and sister, I said that today because I felt in the spirit that there were people that were trying to bargain with God. Folks, you meet God's command and God will meet yours. But don't try to make no bargain. God, we're on the bargaining table. Now, Brother Glenn asked me, I thought maybe I may have blew it this morning after the 2 hours. But Brother Glenn asked me to come back again this evening. I said, you sure, brother, that maybe somebody else? He said, no, I think that it'd be best for you. All right? I want us to look at some shadows of this fivefold ministry coming upon the face of the earth. The hand of God. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, we see that Elijah has already got a visitation from the Lord. And he goes and he tells his servant, you know, that there's going to be a rain. The rain's coming. So he goes down and he puts his head between his knees and he begins to tell his servant to go see. All right, his servant goes out there, as you know, they went 7 times. And all the time, he's went, but the 7th time he come back and he said that, but there's a cloud out there rising up out of the sea the size of a man's hand. Speaking of humanity and the earth. All right, and so then Elijah goes unto Ahab and said, now look, there's a sound of abundance of rain and you better get ready because don't let the rain stop you. All right, then we go on again, and we see David. And if you please, 5 speaks of the number of the grace of God. If we'll see David of old, when he went to Goliath, Goliath came to him with all of his fleshly armor, man-made system, man-made ruts, rituals, and religion systems, and all of that. But here goes David. And he picks up 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And the 5 smooth stones, one that he picked up, and you know what happening with those 5 smooth stones? Because you see, God tells us in this earth today that he's building up a spiritual house, a holy habitation by the Spirit today. All right, I want you to know there's areas in my life that's got to be rubbed with the stone that's in your life that we can fit and firmly together in the plan and purpose of God today. So you see the 5 smooth stones, speaks of being rubbed against and smoothed down and getting ready for the master's use. Peter said, you are lively stones, build up a spiritual house. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. But I want us to notice again, God already always says it before he does it. God always says it before he does it. Now turn with me into the 4th chapter of the book of Ephesians. But now we want to talk to us about this fivefold ministry, the hand of God. Now, how can we do that? This is the only way I know how to do it. The hand of God. All right? This apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, let's notice something here. Let's start at verse 4. There is one body, there's one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, brother, if you've got not very much of the gift of Christ in your life, you're not going to have very much of the grace of God working in your life. Then let's notice, wherefore he said, when he ascended. Now, this is termed the ascension gifts. Now, these gifts were not in the earth when Jesus walked upon the earth. Now, also understand this, that all of the gifts were in Jesus Christ when he walked upon the earth. The Bible tells us in Timothy said that the fullness of God dwell within Jesus Christ. And it pleased the Father that it did so. But now, when he ascended, now let's notice something here. Was it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Now, I know that people think that the devil has more power than God a lot of times. But I'm here to say today that the devil is not saved, and the devil always reports for duty. Job, where is you? What, devil, what are you doing? Oh, I come from here just walking to and fro up and down in the earth. He will always report for duty. Remember that. But now notice something. A lot of people say that the devil has got the power. Now, I want you to know there is a place in God that you can come into divine deliverance in the divine order, brother, that you can put him underfoot. But now, if you'll notice something, he said he went first into the lower parts of the earth. A lot of people think that when Adam fell, as we were ministering this morning, that the devil sneaked around, Penny, and reached in there and got the keys. But, brother, I believe today that when Adam fell, that he had the authority that we gave to you this morning to subdue, to keep, and to guard. I believe that God himself intercepted those keys, and he said, I'll keep those keys until one comes along that I can give him the keys. I will take those keys. Now, when he ascended into the lower part, he said, I'll take those keys. Now, he that descended is the same also that ascended up, far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, this is what God is wanting to do for you and I today. Notice what he did. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teaching. What for? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. For the building up. Now this next word in verse 13 is till. T-I-L-L, which is a time word. Now, that we that are moving closer and closer into the realms of the Spirit, we need the hand ministry to keep you and I upon course. That we don't run off into the left field and then back off into the right field, but some guidelines to keep us in till we all come into the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the stature of the fullness of Christ, that will be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sly men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in the head in all things. Is that right? Did I read it right? All right, now, I want you to know, if you will draw your hand this afternoon, isn't that a beautiful hand? All right, this is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now, you'll notice something. This apostle is your thumb. It can minister to any part on the hand that you have there. Okay, but then the prophet. You see, the prophet and the apostle will minister together. If you want to see trouble, you let two apostles travel together. God never planned it to be that way. That's why John Mark, they had to separate in the book of Acts. Because it was not the plan and purpose for two apostles to travel together. It was the plan for an apostle and a prophet to travel together. All right? Now, this evangelist, you know, this big finger, he is a lot of times in a popularity contest. Because, you see, he can only come and minister to her Brother Glenn, and then sometimes it might take Brother Glenn 2 weeks to straighten up the mess after he's already left. And after that he's already left, Brother Glenn's still going to have to change diapers and serve a few baby bottles. But brother and sister, today we've come to an hour that it's time that we must be built up in God, but we're still parting mustaches and putting bottles in their mouths. And God is wanting us to grow up. Now that you've got the hand ministry, now do you know about the 5 G's that's in the hand ministry? All right? The apostle, write this down in your notes. He is the governing of the body of Christ. If there's rotten doctrine and everything, he don't get up and because, let me show you something. There is no higher authority in Lake Hamilton Bible Camp than Glenn and Irma Miller. And if I want authority with God, I come and I submit to Glenn and Irma Miller while I'm here in this assembly. Because I want the divine authority of God, and God's not going to break this pattern for me or anybody else. Now, so then I want authority, I come and I submit to them. I do what they tell me to do. Because I'm submitting to Him, and in doing so, I receive delegated authority from God to us. Okay, we got to the governor. All right, the apostle. Now the prophet. He is the guide. The prophet is the one that reveals the mind of God unto the church through the word of prophecy. Now, if there's tongues and interpretation, it takes tongues and interpretation to equal to prophecy. Now, then we come over here to the apostle, prophet, and the evangelist. Now, all right, we said he's the guide, right? Okay, then the evangelist, he is the gatherer. He gathers the people, or at least he should gather the people. That's what it's all about. Okay, then we've got over to the evangelist. He gathers the people. Now we are coming to the pastor. What is he, Brother Smith? He is the grounder of the ones that has been gathered. Have you ever been taught on this before? Then we come over here to the teacher. The teacher is this little finger. Now, this teacher can get farther into your ear than either one of the other ministry that you have on your hand. Don't send us a teacher because he's too dry. But he can get in there and get into that and get that earwax out and get you into the Word of God. And that's why it's like I've said time and time again. Preaching is like going to the Dairy Queen and getting a hamburger. And then teaching is like going to the Western Sizzler and getting a steak. But brother and sister, God is doing this for one purpose. And that's to bring the church into divine order. Without the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, there will be no perfecting of the saints. I didn't say that. It just said it to us. And so therefore, that's why that all of the local churches has to have the ministry of coming into the church, because the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that no one can be perfected behind one tree. Brother Glenn, I love and appreciate that man, because I want to tell you something. I found a man that sold out to God. Came to me during our convention, and he was leaving. He said, I've got to leave this afternoon, Brother Smith. But he said, I'm not going to be in the service tonight. But says, Brother Smith, here is a check that I want to leave with you that you can put in the offering for me tonight. Brother, when God gets this, he's got you. When he gets that, he's got you. And with Brother Glenn, I said, there is a good steward over the things of God. But brother and sister, I want to say, you can't get perfected with one ministry. Brother Worley, even though he's a lot bigger than I am, you see, I didn't grow very tall, I just grew out. Even though that Brother Worley's ministry and my ministry is not the same, brother, you still need us both. You might be a Brother Worley hero, or you might be a Brother Smith. But brother, you better get both of them out and make Jesus Christ your hero and follow after the Spirit of God. Brother, if you're following after flesh and you're grounded upon flesh, you will never be perfected. You get your eyes upon me and God will just so create such a position that I'll let you down. But brother, I want you to know, and if this work is all built up on Glenn and Irma, it'll fall. But brother, if it's founded up on the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know that enemy can rap and rage and roar like a lion all he wants to, and he'll only cause the church to increase. But brother and sister, God's getting us in the right orders today. Then, I have people say to me, but says, Brother Smith, there is not no apostles and prophets today. You see, we brought a church from a denomination. They had on their cornerstone, built upon the foundation, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. You know why they did that? Because, listen, folks, if this hand here has only got three fingers on it, I've either had a birth defect or there's been a mutilation. Now, if anything has got two heads, it's a monstrosity. But brother and sister, then they come back to us and they said, but Brother Smith, how can you keep everything in order and not having a head over you? I said, oh, but you don't understand. I do have a head over me. His headquarters is not in Cleveland. His headquarters is not in Springfield. But my head is seated at the right hand of the Father. And brother, I lived in the days when my mother used a razor strap. I'd rather get a whipping any day with a razor strap is to get one with the Holy Ghost. He don't have no mercy on you, when, brother, when we need correction. You said, Brother Smith, why? Did you know that God doesn't chasten His bride? He only chastens and scourges every son that He receiveth. Is that the book? That's the book, isn't it? All right? Hallelujah. So now you see why. Okay, then, is there apostles and prophets today? They certainly is. So now I want you to turn with me over into Acts chapter 13. And let's look here as the word of the Lord. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now you remember when Barnabas came and sold his possession and laid them down at the feet of the apostles. They had everything in common, and everything was equal then. All right, but he started out as a son of consolation, just with a word of exhortation. Did you know that he grew up and became an apostle? Now let's look at where he's a teacher in 13th chapter 1. Verse 1. Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain people and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that is called Niger, Lucas, Cyrene, and Manus, and we had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Now, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands upon them, they sent them away. And so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Now, brother and sister, do you see where that they were teachers there? But there is a growing process in mine and your life. I want you to know there is none of us, Brother Glenn, none of us would want Saul of Tarsus to be a member of our church. Brother, he would have soon thinned them out, wouldn't he? Went around with his pockets full of warrants and binding everyone that he could. He was very religious. He loved God, but he hated Jesus. The Judaizer. He didn't want no part of Jesus. But, brother, none of us would want Saul of Tarsus to be on our team. He soon thinned us out. But now let's notice again. Chapter 14, verse 14. Which when the apostles, what was Barnabas a while ago? A teacher? Which when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard, they rent their clothes and ran among the people crying out. Now, do you see that there is promotion in mine in your life? There's gifts, helps, and governments. I see the many ones here in this camp. They're not preachers, but I see that they're a ministry of helps, and that is so needful. Amen. In the body of Christ. Glory. The ministry of helps. You said, well, Brother Smith, I want to be an apostle. Well, I don't know how many Johns is in this place. A good way for you to get your training to start cleaning up the Johns. Oh, no, Brother Smith, I want to preach. I'm too good to do that. Brother, if you're not willing to pick up paper off from the church floor and clean the junk and mow the lawn, it's a good chance that you're not good material for an apostle either. Because listen, folks, many times you become the offscouring of the earth. The more that you love is the more that you're hated. But now, there will be no perfecting without this governing, guiding, gathering, and then grounding. Huh? There's not going to be any without it. And so, folks, we must submit to those ministries in every facet of our being. Now, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's look again. First of all, chapter 11, we see that where that many are dying and sleeping because they discern not the Lord's body. And this is what we've seen in the land today. I know a lot of ministry that they're hirelings. They're only looking for Friday night payday. They're not interested in nothing else. They're just interested in how much that you can get out of the group that you're ministering to. Brother, I want you to know this afternoon that Jesus Christ is my paymaster, and He knows what I have need of even before I ask. And you will never know if I've got $600 in my pocket if I don't have any. Because I'm not going to poor mouth you, and I'm not going to beg. I'm possessors of all things. And God will take care of us. All right? Now let's notice here. In chapter 12, let's notice in these gifts now that's been given to the church. For what is given by the Spirit? The word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kind of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, did you know that before Ezekiel says this, before the finality is brought into this, Ezekiel says he sees the angels flying through the air, preaching the everlasting gospel. Luke chapter 20, verse 35 and 36, and says that a man becomes equal unto angels. Revelation 21 says that the measure of a man, which is the measure of an angel, is 144 cubits. A preaching is everlasting gospel. Brother, before this is all over, we're going to travel by the Spirit into the foreign countries, and when we get there, there'll be no language barrier. Because the diversity of tongues belongs unto the church. It's mine and yours. Have you ever been into a village and when there's nobody that ever spoke your language? Brother, after you're there for a while, you're going to learn their language if you want to eat and you want to know what's going on. Because they could fix to have you for supper. So I've learned in traveling these foreign countries, I'm going to get some of their language. I want to know where the bathroom is. I don't want to know what the word bathroom is in their language. And I want to know what food is in their language. And I want to know what go is in their language. And I want to know what stop is. And I'll make it my point to be able to butcher enough that they can understand what I'm saying, at least, in their language. But brother and sister, do you see where we're at today? We've seen down through the Pentecostal ranks. Oh, give me power, give me power, give me power. Have you ever seen a 15-year-old boy with a 490 cubic inch engine? He had the power but not the wisdom to use it. And brother, the Pentecostal ranks has come through there and they've had the power, but God couldn't delegate them to the power in the manner that He wanted to because they had not the wisdom to use it. They would want to do like the disciples did that day. Lord, should we call fire down on them now? Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. So you see, God is bringing us into a development that God can give us these gifts and that they're working within the local church and that they're working within us and it's all done for the edifying and the building up. If I come in here, and I hope that you wouldn't listen to it, but if I come in here cutting down Glenn, you know what spirit that's of? Well, so that he and I don't agree. So Brother Glenn says, I can't sing. But I said, Brother Glenn, I can sure whistle. So let's talk about new wisdom then. Let's agree in the thing, and let's all center our life around the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we sit around the Lord Jesus Christ, around the blood of the eternal God, I want you to know that we can agree. And God's working out all of these things out of our lives today. Now, miracles. Did you know that they belong to the church? But many times you and I, we just say, Lord, give us healing. It's no harder on God to give you a miracle. Now I want to say something to us this afternoon. It's going to be heavy. Fasten your seatbelts real good. Did you know that in the church systems and the church today that we're in today, the healing is the children's bread. It belongs to you. But the church is the vehicle to take you and I into the kingdom and no other way. That's why that this place of worship is built right here. It's a vehicle to take you on into the kingdom. In the church, we have healing, but brother, in the kingdom, we're coming into divine health. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. And brother, there's never been a day in mine in your life that there has been an entry of the Word of God in our lives as it is today. And brother, the Bible said the entrance of His Word giveth light and understanding. And that's where He's bringing us to today. So now, this is why that we must come into this order in God. All right? Then, people say, oh, Brother Smith, prophecy. Oh, we used to have a long time ago, Brother Glenn, people would come and they'd say, we got so-and-so is coming to the church. They'd say, do they give personal prophecy? If they give personal prophecy, we coming. And you know something? They ain't done nothing with the word they received 5 years ago. Brother and sister, you ain't got no business to having second heavens until everybody's went through the line. Is that all right? So you see, this is what we're talking about. Then we've got people that they will even prophesy over a grasshopper. There's a man up in Oklahoma. And I told him, I said, brother, they said, you ought to let him come to the church and everything. I said, I cannot. I refuse to let him come to the church. Brother Smith, don't feel that way. I said, that man will prophesy over a grasshopper. And prophecy is not something to play with. It is a gift of God. And the prophecy is to reveal the mind of God unto the local church. Now, did you know that everybody that's spirit-filled is supposed to prophesy? Now, that's just the Bible. But now, there are only three orders that you can prophesy in. You cannot prophesy in direction. And this is your tummy rot going around, prophesying that the baby's going to be a boy. That's none of your business, and that's God. Don't do that. Or prophesying marriages. Brother, I don't want nobody prophesying me with marriage because they're not the one that's going to live with them. I am. Let's get everything in its right perspective that we can grow and get everything into divine order that we can see this glorious church, that there'll be no spots, wrinkles, and blemishes. Everything will be removed. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we're after today. All right? But they prophesy in the word of exhortation. Huh? Well, let me just turn it. Chapter 14, verse 3, and we'll just read it. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men, unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now you can prophesy in those three realms. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. And that does not have to be judged. But I'll tell you one thing. I appreciate the leadership of this assembly right here. Said last night, don't no one go around off having private prayer meetings. Now, I want to tell you how rotten us boys did one time. We crawled upstairs in our church, aggravating Brother Brewer from Amarillo, Texas. We crawled up to the vent in his door and crawled in there and said, ye, thou art to go to Africa. He got very quiet in there and he was listening again. So after a while, he knew his our voice. He said, go yourself. And that's what happens in these your backyard prophecies and the backyard prayer meetings under no leadership or headship. So I thank God. You said, Brother Smith, are you that too? No, sir. I want to see divine order. Because if we don't have divine order in our local church, God's not going to break the mold to bless us. Now, you said, why? Okay, God told Moses to smite the rock. I read to us this morning that that rock was Christ. Jesus came upon this earth. Isaiah 53 prophecy said he was uncommon and no one he would even desire him. Root out of dry ground and all of these things that no one would desire. He was smitten. He wore a mockery crown of thorns. He wore a purple robe and mockery and everything. Brother, he was smitten when he came in the first time. All right, then God told Moses next time, he said, now you speak unto the rock. What was he doing? Brother, that rock was Christ. This time when he returns, he's King of kings and Lord of lords. If you please, he is the captain of the host. He's still our boss. He's not going to be spit upon this time. He's not going to want to wear no mockery crown of thorns. But brother, this time he's King of kings and Lord of lords. So Moses, he smote the rock the second time. Sure, it brought forth water. But brother, Moses broke the pattern. He never entered in. He looked out there on Mount Ebal and he saw his inheritance, but he never went into it. So you see, this is why they were saying that we've got to come into divine order. Now, you said, Brother Smith, how come that we're all supposed to prophesy? Did you know that you were? The Bible says that you are. 1 Corinthians 14:31. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. But now, judgment belongs unto the hand ministry, unto the fivefold ministry, and judgment ministry is the one that cannot be done by any individual of the hand ministry. There must be two of the hand ministry. There one to prophesy and the other one to judge. Now this is directive words. But you see, we were teasing Brother Brewer because he's always scared. When he was in Central America with me, he's hollered out, Bill, don't leave me, don't leave me. I was going through the immigrations and I was speaking Spanish to them and getting my luggage on through. And he was standing there and he said, man, I don't know how to talk to you. I don't even know what to say to you. He said, don't leave me, don't leave me, don't leave me. So we crawled up there and said, yea, thou art to go to Africa. Now that was a joke. And after he found out who it was, he said, go yourself. But we have people in our city, in our Metroplex area, that has called in prayer meetings and has prophesied over them, told them to sell their property and move because God was sending them to another area. All right, I had one to call me for counseling just not long ago. Came to my house and began to talk to me. And she's beginning to tell me what took place. And I said, yeah, you got off into one of those backyard prophecy contests, a blessing game. And I said, you got hurt, didn't you? She said, how did you know that? I said, that's what takes place. When you take a bunch of rebellious ones that will not come under leadership, they'll get off into the corner and they'll do their thing and start prophesying over one another and bring havoc to their own lives and the lives around about them. So there is no directive word given by those that all may prophesy. Is that all right? Brother, this is the way that God has destined it to be in the Word of God. But now, notice again, you said, oh, I want to be an apostle. Well, turn with me into the 28th verse of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And God has set in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Do you see any emphasis put on any of those offices? Not a one. Folks, they're just as needful in the body of Christ as apostolic ministry. There's no emphasis put on any of those ministries that's given in that 28th verse. But we see so many that's looking for a glory kick, glory seekers. There's none that's going to receive any glory except our Lord. You said, but Brother Smith, you don't know how pretty I can sing. You don't know how pretty that I can prophesy. But I want to tell you something. My Father gave you the very word that you were to prophesy. The anointing from my Father gave you the unction to bring it forth. And so He is the one that was the beginning and He was the ending of it. So where do you got glory coming? There is none. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:31, says, He that glory, let him glory in the Lord. And this is what we're after today. But we want to see our churches brought into divine order that we can have the fullness of God moving within our churches today. Listen, folks. There's never been a time in our life that we're seeing such isms, schisms in the body as there is today. And brother and sister, how are we going to control this? By coming under the leadership that God has placed us in. You said, oh, but Brother Smith, I'm not a pastor. And who do you submit to? Well, I want to tell you something. I had some people, you see, we pastors, I have been told we pastors has all got it made. We wear nice clothes, eat that gospel bird, that fried chicken, and drive around in good cars. There's more to it than that. Sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning, we're changing diapers. But I want to say to us today, God's bringing us into order. But I've never seen a time when there's much doctrine and filth that has been put into the earth today by the ministry. And people have become so gullible until they're eating it. Don't drag your feet. But everything that glitters is not gold. Did you know that? Everything that glitters is not gold. So folks, God wants to bring us in to the guidelines that we can receive of His fullness. So we see these helps, governments, healings, diversities of tongues, and all of this has been given to the body. And there's no emphasis on none of it. But you know, these people came to our house the other day. Somebody had prophesied to them and told them to sell everything they had and go to the mission field. And folks, those young people were not ready to go to the mission field. And this old cliche that you've heard, well, I wasn't very successful in America, but when I get into the foreign field, I'm going to become successful. Brother, if you don't got it here, you're not getting it there. You don't encounter the spirits here that you encounter in them foreign fields. Whether there's voodoo and all of this junk that's practiced there while you're having services. And you've got to deal with that situation. So you see, there's lives that are wrecked because people want to prophesy. And because many times they can give them a sweet prophecy and after all that get that old palm grease. Get an extra 20 put in that hand. But brother, I ain't buying for a thing. I ain't got nothing for sale. Brother, God is calling us to walk this out today in shoe leather. Amen. And folks, we've seen much danger in the body of Christ this evening through the gifts. You said, old Brother Smith said, well, the gifts are a sign of maturity. It's a sign of real depth of spirituality. The gifts and callings are without repentance. Brother and sister, it's not a sign of spiritual growth. So, but listen, every one of our local assemblies should have the gifts functioning in the church. Every one of them. And so, this is why that we wanted to deal in these levels this afternoon. There's many levels that we could go in from here, but we'll just hold off on that. But folks, I'll tell you, I'm seeing God that's doing an eternal work. Many times people think that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us to make us just have goosebumps and then goosebumps on top of our goosebumps. But it's not so. When the Spirit of God comes upon us, it's for an eternal work being done in mine and your life. Now you say, but Brother Smith, I want to be used in these gifts. I want to be used in prophecy. You know how to be used in prophecy? And that is to study the Word of God. Yield to the Spirit. Present yourself to the Lord. As Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Now, and in closing, I want us to look at Timothy. Paul was talking to Timothy over here. And Paul was telling him, in verse 14 of the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy, Paul says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hand of the presbytery. Now this afternoon, I want us to stand together. And I want to pray that God will stir up that gift in every one of mine in your life. Listen, folks. We must come to the church. The Bible says, before we close the second time, let's go back over into 1 Corinthians 14. And let's read in verse 26. How is it, brethren, when you come together that everyone hath a song? Not just Glenn and Irma. But everyone hath a song, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath the interpretation. Let all things be done unto the edifying or the building up of the church. But this afternoon, I want us to stand at this time. Let's raise our hands, not half mass either. Let's raise our hands. And as we pray that God will stir up the gift in every one of your lives, that it'll be functioning, even before you leave this camp. Father God, this afternoon, as we see that we have this group of people, Lord, God, that you would stir up the gift that's within them this afternoon, Lord. Lord, that they would come to a place in spirituality, Lord. Lord, that they would prophesy, Lord, according unto your word of God, according to comfort, exhortation, and exhortation, Lord. Lord, that they would build up and edify the body of Christ. And Lord, that there would be no cutting down, but there would be the lifting up and the edifying. And Father God, this afternoon, everyone under the sound of my voice, that we stir up these gifts this afternoon, Lord. Lord, that we come to this due order, Lord, that you have called us into, Lord. And we'll give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to say something to you again. Just because at your first time you don't prophesy like Jeremiah or Isaiah, don't think that you haven't got it. You may just have two or three words, but you be sure that you learn to quit when God quits.
Amen. Amen.
Some people, God gives them two or three words, and they got to be real popular, and they go on a long ways for their own self, and it only does nothing but kill. But when God quits, you quit. But I want to see these gifts stirred up in your life, that we'll see the body of Christ flourishing and flourishing and developing until we'll see the nine fruit of the Spirit, which is the very nature of God within the body. Praise the Lord. And listen, this is a group of beautiful people from all walks of life, from all backgrounds. And this is the family of God. And this is where God wants to see this come forth within us. And listen, you said, Brother Smith, I'm not very good. But you know something? You're some of the best that God has got. And I'm not struck on myself, but we are. We're some of the best that God has got in the face of the earth today. So you yield to that gift. Hallelujah. And you allow God to use you in that gift. The Lord bless you, Brother Glenn.
Father, we thank you for the word of instruction that we have heard this afternoon. Help it, Lord, to lay deep in our hearts. Help us to receive it. And help us to apply it to our individual lives, that each one of us, Lord, may walk in the calling wherewith you have called us, that we'll not be backward nor ashamed, or feel that we are not able to, but help us, Lord, by your Spirit to move forward in those gifts which you have laid upon us and which are ours for the using and for the edification of your people and for ourselves. And Father, we thank you and we bless Brother Bill, Lord, for the ministry that he's brought to us this afternoon. Help us, Lord, to receive it, and we thank you for it. Father, we pray your anointing and blessing over the service tonight, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.